grabbing one of the handles.
"Let me just get her out the door here," answered Dad. "It's a little hard to maneuver with her leg."
"How was your day, Chris?"
asked Mom as we wheeled her into the hallway. I thought about what an awful day it had been. All of it, from beginning to end. Science, music, math, rock band. Worst day ever.
"Fine," I answered. "How was band practice? Is Elijah being any nicer these days?"
she asked.
"It was good. He's fine,"
I shrugged.
"I'm sorry I didn't bring your stuff," she said, stroking my arm. "You must have been wondering what happened to me."
"I figured you were running errands," I answered. "You thought you went to Isabel's house," laughed Dad.
"I did not,"
I said to him. We had reached the nurse's station and Mom was saying goodbye to the nurses who were waving back, so she didn't really hear what Dad had said. "Didn't you ask me if Mom had gone to..." said Dad to me, confused.
"Anyway," I interrupted, turning to Mom, "band was fine. We are playing Seven Nation Army for the spring concert on Wednesday. Can you still come?"
"Of course I can," she answered.
"I thought you were playing the Final Countdown."
"Seven Nation Army is a great song," said Dad. He started humming the bass line and playing air guitar as we waited for the elevator. Mom smiled at him.
"I remember you playing that at the parlor."
"What's the parlor?" I asked.
"The pub down the road from our dorm," answered Mom.
"Before you were born, buddy," said Dad. The elevator doors opened and we got in.
"I'm starving," I said. "You guys haven't eaten dinner yet?"
Mom asked, looking at Dad. "We came straight here from school," he answered. "When were we going to stop for dinner?"
"Can we stop for some McDonald's on the way home?" I asked.
"Sounds good to me," answered Dad. We reached the lobby and the elevator doors opened.
"Now can I push the wheelchair?" I said.
"Yep," he answered. "You guys wait for me over there, okay?" He pointed to the farthest exit on the left. "I'll pull the car around." He jogged out the front entrance toward the parking lot. I pushed Mom's wheelchair to where he'd pointed.
"I can't believe it's still raining,"
said Mom, looking out the lobby windows.
"I bet you could pop a wheelie on this thing," I said. Hey, no!"
Mom screamed, squeezed the sides of the wheelchair as I tilted it backward.
"Chris, I've had enough excitement for the day."
I put the wheelchair down.
"Sorry, Mom."
I patted her head. She rubbed her eyes with the palms of her hand.
"Sorry, it's just been a really long day."
"Did you know that a day on Pluto is 153.3 hours long?" I asked.
"No, I didn't know that."
We didn't say anything for a few minutes.
"Hey, did you give Augie a call, by the way?"
she said out of the blue.
"Mom,"
I groaned, shaking my head.
"What?"
she said. She tried to turn around in her wheelchair to look at me.
"I don't get it, Chris. Did you and Augie have a fight or something?"
"No, there's just so much going on right now."
"Chris..."
she sighed, but she sounded too tired to say anything else about it. I started humming the bass line of Seven Nation Army. After a few minutes, the red hatchback pulled up in front of the exit, and Dad came jogging out of the car, holding an open umbrella. I pushed Mom outside the front doors. Dad gave her the umbrella to hold, and then he pushed her down the wheelchair ramp and around to the passenger side of the car. The wind was picking up now, and the umbrella Mom was holding went inside out after a strong gust.
"Chris, get inside,"
said Dad. He started picking Mom up under her arms to transfer her to the front seat of the car.
"Kind of nice being waited on,"
Mom joked, but I could tell she was in pain.
"Worth a broken femur?"
Dad joked back, out of breath.
"What's a femur?"
I asked, scooching into the back seat.
"The thigh bone," answered Dad.
He was soaking wet by now as he tried to help Mom find her seatbelt.
"Sounds like an animal,"
I answered.
"Lions and tigers and femurs."
Mom tried to laugh at my joke, but she was sweating. Dad hurried around to the back of the car and spent a few minutes trying to figure out how to fold the wheelchair to get it inside. Then he came around to the driver's seat, sat down, and closed the door. We all kind of sat there quietly for a second, the wind and rain howling outside the windows. Then Dad started the car. We were all soaking wet. "Mommy," I said after we'd been driving a few minutes, "when you got in the accident this morning, were you on your way home after dropping me off, or were you driving back to school with my stuff?" Mom took a second to answer. "It's actually kind of a blur, honey," she answered, reaching her arm behind her so that I would take her hand. I squeezed her hand.
"Chris," said Dad, "Mommy's kind of tired. I don't think she wants to think about it right now."
"I just want to know."
"Chris, now's not the time," said Dad, giving me a stern look in the rearview mirror. "The only thing that's important is that everything worked out okay and that Mommy's safe and sound, right? We have a lot to be thankful for. Today could have been so much worse."
It took me a second to realize what he meant. And then when I did, I felt a shiver go up my spine.
Face chat. The first year after we moved to Bridgeport, our parents tried really hard to get Augie and me together at least a couple of times a month, either at our place or at Augie's. I had a couple of sleepovers at Augie's house, and Augie tried a sleepover at my place once, though that didn't work out. But it's a long car ride between Bridgeport and North River Heights, and eventually we only got together every couple of months or so. We started face-chatting each other a lot around that time, like practically every day in third grade. Augie and I would hang out together on face-chat. We had decided to grow our Padawan braids before I moved away, so it was a great way to check how long they had gotten. Sometimes we wouldn't even talk. We'd just keep the screens on while we both watched a TV show together, or built the same Lego set at the same time. Sometimes we would trade riddles, like, what has a foot but no leg? Or, what does a poor man have or a rich man need, and you would die if you ate it? Stuff like that could keep us going for hours. Then in the fourth grade, we started face-chatting less. It wasn't a thing we did on purpose. I just started having more things to do in school. Not only did I get more homework now, but I was doing a lot of after-school stuff. Soccer a couple of times a week, tennis lessons, robotics in the spring. It felt like I was always missing Augie's face chat requests. So finally we decided to schedule our chats for right before dinner on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And that worked out fine. Though it ended up being only Wednesday nights because Saturdays I had too much going on. It was somewhere toward the end of the fourth grade that I told Augie I had cut off my Padawan braid. He didn't say it, but I think that hurt his feelings. Then this year, Augie started going to school, too. I almost couldn't imagine Augie at school or how it would be for him. I mean, being a new kid is hard enough, but being a new kid that looks like Augie? That would be insane. And not only was he starting school, he was starting middle school. That's how they do it in his school. Fifth graders walking down the same hallways as ninth graders. Crazy. You have to give Augie his props. That takes guts. The only time I face-chatted with Augie in September was a few days after school had started, but he didn't seem to want to talk. I did notice he had cut off his Padawan braid, but I didn't ask him about it. I figured it was for the same reason I had cut mine off. I mean, you know, nerd alert. I was curious to go to Augie's bowling party a few weeks before Halloween. I got to meet his new friends, who seemed nice enough. There was this one kid named Jack Will, who was pretty funny. But then I think something happened with Jack and Augie, because when I face-chatted with Augie after Halloween, he told me they weren't friends anymore. The last time I face-chatted with Augie was right after winter break had ended. My friends Jake and Tyler were over at my place, and we were playing Age of War 2 on my laptop when Augie's face-chat request came up on my screen. "Guys," I said, turning the laptop toward me, "I need to take this."
"Can we play on your Xbox?"
asked Jake.
Sure, I said, pointing to where they could find the extra controllers. And then I kind of turned my back to them, because I didn't want them to see Augie's face. I tapped accept on the laptop, and a few seconds later, Augie's face came on the screen.
Hey, Chris,
he said.
Sup, Aug,
I answered.
Long time no see.
Yeah, I answered. Then he started talking about something else, something about a war at his school, Jack Will. I didn't really follow what he was saying because I was completely distracted by Jake and Tyler, who had started nudging one another, mouths open, half laughing, the moment Augie had come on screen. I knew they had seen Augie's face. I walked to the other side of the room with the laptop.
Mm-hmm,
I said to Augie, trying to tune out the things Jake and Tyler were whispering to each other. But I heard this much.
Did you see that?
Was that a mask?
A fire?
Is there someone there with you?
Asked Augie. I guess he must have noticed that I wasn't really listening to him. I turned to my friends and said,
Guys, shh!
That made them crack up. They were very obviously trying to get a closer look at my screen. Yeah, I'm just with some friends, I mumbled quickly, walking to yet another side of my room.
Hi, Chris's friend,
said Jake, following me.
Can we meet your friend?
Asked Tyler loudly so Augie would hear. I shook my head at them.
No!
Okay,
said Augie from the other side of the screen. Jake and Tyler immediately came on either side of me so the three of us were facing the screen and seeing Augie's face.
Hey!
Augie said. I knew he was smiling, but sometimes, to people who didn't know, his smile didn't look like a smile.
Hey!
Both Jake and Tyler said quietly, nodding politely. I noticed that they were no longer laughing.
So these guys are my friends, Jake and Tyler,
I said to Augie, pointing my thumb back and forth at them. And that's Augie from my old neighborhood.
Hey,
said Augie, waving.
Hey,
said Jake and Tyler, not looking at him directly.
So,
said Augie, nodding awkwardly.
So, yeah, what are you guys doing?
We were just turning on the Xbox, I answered.
Oh, nice,
answered Augie.
What game?
House of Asterion?
Cool. What level are you on?
I don't know exactly, I said, scratching my head. Second maze, I think.
Oh, that's a hard one,
Augie answered.
I've almost unlocked Tartarus.
Cool. I noticed out of the corner of my eye that Jake was poking Tyler behind my back.
Yeah, well, I said, I think we're going to start playing now.
Oh,
said Augie.
Sure, good luck with the second maze.
Okay, bye, I said. Hope the war thing works out.
Thanks. Nice meeting you guys,
Augie added politely.
Bye, Augie,
Jake said, smirking. Tyler started laughing, so I elbowed him out of screen view.
Bye,
Augie said, but I could tell he noticed them laughing. Augie always noticed stuff like that, even though he pretended not to. I clicked off. As soon as I did, both Jake and Tyler started cracking up.
What the heck?
I said to them, annoyed.
Oh, dude, said Jake. What was up with that kid?
I've never seen anything that ugly in my life,
said Tyler.
Hey,
I answered defensively. Come on.
Was he in a fire?
Asked Jake.
No, he was born like that,
I explained.
He can't help the way he looks. It's a disease.
Wait, is it contagious?
Asked Tyler, pretending to be afraid.
Come on,
I answered, shaking my head.
And you're friends with him?
Asked Tyler, looking at me like I was a Martian.
Whoa, dude!
He was snickering.
What?
I looked at him seriously. He opened his eyes wide and shrugged.
Nothing, dude, I'm just saying.
I saw him look at Jake, who squeezed his lips together like a fish. There was an awkward silence. Are we playing or not? I asked after a few seconds. I grabbed one of the controllers. We started playing, but it wasn't a great game. I was in a bad mood and they just continued being goofballs. It was irritating. After they left, I started thinking about Zack and Alex, how they had ditched Augie all those years ago. Even after all this time, it can still be hard being friends with Augie. 8:22 p.m. As soon as Dad wheeled Mom into our house, I plopped down on the sofa in front of the TV with my half-finished McDonald's Happy Meal. I clicked the TV on with a remote.
"Wait," said Dad, shaking out the umbrella. "I thought you had homework to do."
"I just want to watch the rest of Amazing Race while I eat," I answered. "I'll do my homework when it's over."
"Is it okay for him to do that?"
Dad said to Mom.
"It's almost over anyway, Mommy,"
I said to Mom.
"Please?"
"So long as you start right after the show's over," she answered, but I knew she wasn't really paying attention. She was looking up at the staircase, shaking her head slowly.
"How am I going to do this, Angus?"
she said to Dad. She looked really tired.
"That's what I'm here for," Dad answered.
He turned her wheelchair around toward him, reached under her, wrapped his other arm around her back, and lifted her out of the wheelchair. This made Mom scream in a giggly sort of way.
"Wow, Dad, you're strong,"
I said, popping a French fry in my mouth as I watched them.
"You guys should be on The Amazing Race. They're always having divorced couples."
Dad started climbing the staircase with Mom in his arms. They were both laughing as they bumped into the railing and the walls on the way up. It was nice seeing them like this. Last time we were all together, they were screaming at each other. I turned around and watched the rest of the show. Just as Phil, the host, was telling the last couple to arrive at the pit stop that they had been eliminated, my phone buzzed. It was a text from Elijah.
"Yo, Chris, so me and the guys decided we're dropping out of After School Rock Band. We're starting our own band. We're playing Seven Nation Army on Wednesday."
I reread the text. My mouth was literally hanging open. Dropping out of the band? Could they do that? John would go ballistic when none of them showed up at band practice tomorrow. And what did that mean for the after-school rock band? Would it just be me and John playing the final countdown? That would be awful. Then another text came through.
"Do you want to join our band? We want you to join, but absolutely not John. He sucks. We're practicing at my place tomorrow after school. Bring your guitar."
Dad came downstairs.
"Time for homework, Chris,"
he said quietly. Then he saw my face.
"What's the matter?"
"Nothing," I said, clicking off my phone. I was kind of in a state of shock. They want me in their band? I just remembered I need to practice for the spring concert.
"Okay, but it needs to be quiet," answered Dad. "Mom is out like a light, and we have to let her rest, okay? Don't make a lot of noise going up the stairs. I'm in the guest room if you need anything."
"Wait, you're staying here tonight?" I asked.
"For a few days," he answered, "until your mom can get around herself."
He started walking back upstairs with the crutches they had given Mom in the hospital.
"Can you print out the chords for Seven Nation Army for me?" I asked. "I have to learn them by tomorrow."
"Sure," he said quietly at the top of the stairs. "But remember, keep it down."
North River Heights. Our new house is much bigger than our old house in North River Heights. Our old house was actually a brownstone, and we lived on the first floor. We only had one bathroom and a tiny yard, but I loved our apartment. I loved our block. I missed being able to walk everywhere. I even missed the ginkgo trees. If you don't know what ginkgo trees are, they're the trees that drop these little squishy nuts that smell like dog poop mixed with cat pee mixed with some toxic waste when you step on them. Augie used to say they smelled like orc vomit, which I always thought was funny. Anyway, I missed everything about our old neighborhood, even the ginkgo trees. When we lived in North River Heights, Mom owned a little floral shop on Amesford Avenue called Earth Laughs in Flowers. She worked really long hours, which is why they hired Lourdes to babysit me. That was another thing I missed. Lourdes. I missed her empanadas. I missed how she used to call me Poppy. But we didn't need Lourdes after we moved to Bridgeport, because Mom had sold her floral shop and no longer worked full-time. Now Mom picks me up from school on Mondays through Wednesdays. On Thursday nights, she picks me up from John's house and drops me off at Dad's place, which is where I stay until Sunday. When we lived in North River Heights, Dad was usually home by 7 p.m., but now he can't get home before 9 p.m. because of the long commute from the city. Originally, the plan was that that was only going to be a temporary thing because he was going to be transferred to a Connecticut office. But it's been 3 years, and he still has his old job in Manhattan. Mom and Dad used to argue about that a lot. On Fridays, Dad leaves work early so that he can pick me up from school. We usually order Chinese food for dinner, jam a little on our guitars, and watch a movie. Mom gets annoyed with Dad that he doesn't make me do my homework over the weekend when I'm with him. So by the time I go back home on Sunday night, I'm always kind of grumpy as I scramble to finish my homework with her. This weekend, for instance, I should have been studying for my math test, but Dad and I went bowling and I just never got around to doing that. My bad. I got used to the new house in Bridgeport, though. My new friends, Luke, the hamster that's not a dog. But what I miss the most about North River Heights is that my parents seemed together then. Dad moved out of our house last summer. My parents had been fighting a lot before that. But I don't know why he moved out over the summer. Just that one day, out of nowhere, they told me that they were separating. They needed some time apart to figure out if they wanted to continue living together. They told me that this had nothing to do with me and that they would both go on loving me and seeing me as much as before. They said they still loved each other, but that sometimes marriages are like friendships that get tested and people have to work through things. Good friendships are worth a little extra effort, I remember saying to them. I don't think Mom even remembered that she's the one who told me that once. 9:56 p.m. I listened to Seven Nation Army while I did my homework, and I tried not to think too much about how John would react tomorrow when I told him I was joining the other band. I mean, I didn't think I really had a choice. If I stayed in the after-school rock band, it'd just be me and John playing the final countdown at the spring concert, with Mr. B playing drums, and we'd look like the world's biggest dweebs. We were just not good enough to play by ourselves. I remembered how Harry was trying not to laugh when John played the guitar solo today. If it was just the two of us up there, all the kids in the audience would be trying not to laugh. What I couldn't figure out was what John would do when he found out. Any sane person would just forget about playing in the spring concert on Wednesday at all. But knowing John, I could pretty much bet that he would go ahead and play the final countdown. He didn't care about making a fool of himself that way. I could picture him singing his heart out, strumming the guitar, with Mr. Bowles rocking out behind him on the keyboards. Ladies and gentlemen, the after-school rock band! Just the thought of it made me cringe for him. He would never live that down. It was hard to concentrate on my homework, so it took me a lot longer than I thought it would. I didn't even start studying for the math test until almost 10 p.m. That's when I remembered that I was totally screwed in math. I waited to the last minute to study, and I didn't understand any of it. Dad was in bed working on his laptop when I opened the door of the guest bedroom. I was holding my ridiculously heavy fifth-grade math textbook in my hands. "Hey, Dad?"
"You're not in bed yet?"
he asked, looking at me over his reading glasses. "I need some help studying for my math test tomorrow." He glanced over at the clock on the bedside table.
"Kind of late to be discovering this, no?"
"I had so much homework," I answered. "And I had to learn the new song for the spring concert, which is the day after tomorrow. There's so much going on, Dad." He nodded. Then he put his laptop down and padded the bed for me to sit next to him, which I did. I turned to page 151. "So, I said. I'm having trouble with word problems.
Oh, well, I'm great at word problems, he answered, smiling. Lay it on me.
I started reading from the textbook. Jill wants to buy honey at an outdoor market. One vendor is selling a 26-ounce jar for $3.12. Another vendor is selling a 16-ounce jar for $2.40. Which is the better deal, and how much money per ounce will Jill save by choosing it? I put the textbook down and looked at Dad, who looked at me blankly.
Okay,
he said, scratching his ear.
So that was 26 ounces for what again? I'm going to need a piece of paper. Pass me my notebook over there.
I reached over to the other end of the bed and passed him his notebook. He started scribbling in it, asked me to repeat the question again, and then kept scribbling.
Okay, so,
he said, turning his notebook around for me to look at his scribbled numbers.
So first, you want to divide the numbers to figure out what the cost per ounce is. Then you want...
Wait, I said, shaking my head. That's the part I don't get. When do you know you have to divide? What do you need to do? How do you know?
He looked down at the scribbles on his notebook again, as if the answer were there. Let me see the question,
he said, pushing his reading glasses back up on his nose and looking at where I pointed in the textbook.
Okay, well, you know you have to divide because, you want to figure out the price per ounce. Because it says so, right here.
He pointed at the problem. I looked quickly at where he pointed but shook my head. I don't get it.
Well, look, Chris, right here, it asks how much the cost per ounce is.
I shook my head again. I don't get it! I said loudly. I hate this. I suck at this.
No, you don't, Chris.
He answered calmly. You just have to take a deep breath and...
No, you don't understand, I said. I don't get this at all. Which is why I'm trying to explain it to you.
Can I ask Mom? He took his eyeglasses off and rubbed his eyes with his wrist.
Chris, she's asleep. We should just let her rest tonight, he answered slowly. I'm sure we can figure this out ourselves.
I started poking my knuckles into my eyes, so he pulled my hands down off my face gently.
Why don't you call one of your friends at school? How about John?
He's in the fourth grade, I said impatiently.
Okay, well, someone else, he said.
No, I shook my head. There's no one I can call. I'm not friends with anyone like that this year. I mean, my friends aren't in the same math class I'm in, and I don't know the kids in this math class that well.
Then call your other friends, Chris, he said, reaching over for his cell phone. What about Elijah and those guys in the band? I'm sure they've all taken that class.
No, Dad! I covered my face with my hands. I'm totally going to fail this test. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Okay, calm down. He said, what about Augie? He's kind of a math whiz, isn't he?
Never mind, I said, shaking my head. I took the textbook from him. I'll figure it out myself.
Christopher, he said.
It's fine, Dad, I said, getting up. I'll just figure it out, or I'll text someone. It's fine.
Just like that?
It's fine. Thanks, Dad.
I closed the textbook and got up. I'm sorry I couldn't help you, he answered, and for a second I felt sorry for him. He sounded a little defeated. I mean, I think we can figure it out together if you give me another chance.
No, it's okay, I answered, walking toward the door.
Good night, Chris.
Night, Dad.
I went to my room, sat at my desk, and opened the textbook to page 151 again.
I tried rereading the word problem, but all I could hear in my head were the words to Seven Nation Army, and those made no sense to me either. No matter how hard I stared at the problem, I just couldn't think of what to do. Pluto. A few weeks before we moved to Bridgeport, Augie's parents were over at our house helping my parents pack for the big move. Our entire apartment was filled with boxes. Augie and I were having a Nerf war in the living room, turning the boxes into hostile aliens on Pluto. Occasionally, one of our Nerf darts would hit Via, who was trying to read her book on the sofa.
Okay, maybe we were doing it a little bit on purpose. Tee-hee.
Stop it! She finally screamed when one of my darts zinged her book. Mom! She yelled. But Isabel and Nate were all the way on the other side of the apartment with my parents, taking a coffee break in the kitchen.
Can you guys please stop?
Via said to us seriously. I nodded, but Augie shot another Nerf dart at her book.
That's a fart dart, said Augie.
This made us both crack up. Via was furious.
You guys are such geeks,
she said, shaking her head.
Star Wars. Not Star Wars, Pluto, answered Augie, pointing his Nerf blaster at her. That's not even a real planet,
she said, opening her book to read. Augie shot another Nerf dart at her book.
What are you talking about? Yes, it is.
Stop it, Augie, or I swear I'll... Augie lowered his Nerf blaster.
Yes, it is,
he repeated.
No, it's not, answered Via. It used to be a planet. I can't believe you two geniuses don't know that after all the space videos you've watched.
Augie didn't answer right away, like he was processing what she just said.
But my very educated mother just showed us 9 planets. That's how Mommy said people remember the planets in our solar system. My very educated mother just served us nachos, answered Via. Look it up, I'm right.
She started looking it up on her phone.
It may be that in all our reading science books and watching videos, this information had made its way to us before, but I guess we never really understood what it meant. We were still little kids when we were in our space phase. We barely knew how to read.
Via started reading aloud from her phone.
From Wikipedia, the understanding that Pluto is only one of several large icy bodies in the outer solar system prompted the International Astronomical Union, IAU, to formally define planet in 2006. This definition excluded Pluto and reclassified it as a member of the new dwarf planet category and specifically as a Plutoid. Do I need to go on? Basically, what that means is that Pluto was considered too puny to be a real planet. So there, I'm right.
Augie looked really upset.
Mommy!
He yelled out.
It's not a big deal, Augie,
said Via, seeing how upset he was getting.
Yes, it is!
He said, running down the hallway. Via and I followed him to the kitchen, where our parents were sitting around the table over a bagel and cream cheese spread.
You said it was my very educated mother just showed us 9 planets,
said Augie, charging over to Isabel. Isabel almost spilled her coffee.
What?
She said.
Why are you making such a big deal about this, Augie?
Via interrupted.
What's going on, guys?
Asked Isabel, looking from Augie to Via.
It is a big deal!
Augie screamed at the top of his lungs.
It was so loud and unexpected, that scream, that everyone in the room just looked at one another.
Whoa, Augie,
said Nate, putting his hand on Augie's shoulder, but Augie shrugged it off.
You told me Pluto was one of the 9 planets!
Augie yelled at Isabel.
You said it was the littlest planet in the solar system!
It is, sweetness, Isabel answered, trying to get him to calm down.
No, it's not, Mom, Via said. They changed Pluto's planetary status in 2006. It's no longer considered one of the 9 planets in our solar system.
Isabel blinked at Via, and then she looked at Nate.
Really?
I knew that, Nate answered seriously. They did the same thing to Goofy a few years ago.
This made all the adults laugh.
Daddy, this isn't funny!
Augie shrieked, and then out of the blue he started to cry. Big tears, sobbing, crying. No one understood what was happening. Isabel wrapped her arms around Augie and he sobbed into her neck.
Augie-doggie,
Nate said, gently rubbing Augie on the back. What's going on here, buddy?
Via, what happened? Isabel asked sharply.
I have no idea, said Via, opening her eyes wide. I didn't do anything.
Something must have happened, said Isabel.
Chris, do you know why Augie's so upset? Asked Mom.
Because of Pluto, I answered.
But what does that mean? Asked Mom. I shrugged. I understood why he was so upset, but I couldn't explain it to them exactly.
You said it was a planet,
Augie finally said in between gulps. Even under ordinary circumstances, Augie could be hard to understand sometimes. In the middle of a crying fit, it was even harder.
What, sweetness?
Whispered Isabel.
You said it was a planet,
Augie repeated, looking up at her.
I thought it was, Augie,
she answered, wiping his tears with her fingertips.
I don't know, sweetness. I'm not a real science teacher. When I was growing up, there were 9 planets. It never even occurred to me that that could change.
Nate knelt down beside him. But even if it's not considered a planet anymore, Augie, I don't understand why that should upset you so much. Augie looked down, but I knew he couldn't explain his Plutonian tears. 10:28 p.m. By about 10:30, I was getting desperate about the math test tomorrow. I had texted Jake, who was in my math class, and messaged a few other kids on Facebook. When my phone buzzed, I assumed it was one of these kids, but it wasn't. It was Augie.
Hey, Chris. Just heard about your mom being in the hospital. Sorry. Hope she's okay.
I couldn't believe he was texting me, just when I'd been thinking about him. Kind of psychic.
Hey, Aug.
I texted back. Thanks. She's okay. She broke her femur. She has this huge cast. He texted me a sad-faced emoticon. I texted, my dad had to carry her up the stairs. They kept bumping into the wall.
Ha ha.
He texted me a laughing face icon. I texted, I was going to call you today to tell you sorry about Daisy.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
He texted a string of crying face emoticons. Hey, remember the Galactic Adventures of Darth Daisy? I texted. This was a comic strip we used to draw together about 2 astronauts named Glebo and Tom, who lived on Pluto and had a dog named Darth Daisy.
Ha ha, yeah, Major Glebo.
Major Tom.
Good times, good times.
He texted back.
Daisy was the greatest dog in the universe.
I thumbed loudly. I was smiling. He texted me a picture of Daisy. It had been such a long time since I had seen her. In the picture, her face had gotten completely white, and her eyes were kind of foggy. But her nose was still pink, and her tongue was still super long as it hung out of her mouth.
So cute, Daisy!
I texted.
Darth Daisy!
Ha ha, take that, Via, I wrote.
Remember those fart darts?
Ha 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 ha. I was smiling a lot at this point. It was the happiest part of my day, to be truthful. That was when we were still into Pluto.
Were we into Star Wars yet?
Getting into it. Do you still have all your miniatures?
Yeah, but I put some away, too. So anyway, Glebo, my mom's telling me I gots to go to bed now. Glad your mom is okay.
I nodded. There was no way I could ask him for help in math at this point. It would just be too lame. I sat down on the edge of my bed and started responding to his text. Before I could finish, he texted,
my mom actually wants to talk to you. She wants to face chat. Are you free?
I stood up. Sure. 2 seconds later, I got a request to face chat. I saw Isabel on the phone.
Oh, hey, Isabel, I said.
Hi, Chris,
she answered. I could tell she was in her kitchen.
How are you? I talked to your mom earlier. I wanted to make sure you guys got home okay.
Yeah, we did.
And she's doing okay? I didn't want to wake her up if she's sleeping.
Yeah, she is sleeping, I answered.
Oh, good. She needs her rest. That was a big cast.
Dad's staying here tonight.
Oh, that's so great, she answered happily. I'm so glad. And how are you doing, Chris?
I'm good.
How's school?
Good. Isabel smiled.
Lisa told me you got her beautiful flowers today.
Yeah, I answered, smiling and nodding.
Okay, well, I just wanted to check in on you and say hello, Chris. I want you to know we're thinking about you guys, and if there's anything we could do...
I'm sorry about Daisy,
I blurted out. Isabel nodded.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
You guys must be so sad.
Yeah, it's sad. She was such a presence in our house. Well, you know, you were there when we first got her, remember?
She was so skinny,
I said. I was smiling, but suddenly, out of the blue, my voice got a little shaky.
With that long tongue of hers,
she laughed. I nodded. I felt a lump in my throat like I was going to cry. She looked at me carefully.
Oh, sweetie, it's okay,
she said quietly. Augie's mom had always been like a second mom to me. I mean, aside from my parents and maybe my grandmother, Isabel Pullman knew me better than anyone.
I know,
I said quietly. I was still smiling, but my chin was trembling.
Sweetie, where's your dad? She asked. Can you put him on the phone?
I shook my head slowly.
I think he might be asleep by now. I'm sure he won't care if you wake him up, she answered softly. Go get him. I'll wait on the phone.
Augie nudged his way into view on the screen.
What's the matter, Chris?
He asked. I shook my head, fighting back tears. I couldn't talk. I knew if I did, I'd start to cry.
Christopher, Isabel said, coming close to the screen. Your mom is going to be fine, sweetie.
I know,
I said, my voice cracking. But then it just came out of me.
But she was in the car because of me. Because I forgot my trombone. If I hadn't forgotten my stuff, she wouldn't have gotten into an accident. It's my fault, Isabel. She could have died.
This all came pouring out of me in a string of messy, crying bursts. 10:52 p.m. Isabel put Augie on the phone while she called Dad's cell phone to let him know I was crying hysterically in my room. 2 seconds later, Dad came into my room and I hung up on Augie. Dad put his arms around me and hugged me tightly.
Chris, said Dad.
It was my fault, Daddy. It was my fault she was driving.
He untangled himself from my hug and put his face in front of my face.
Look at me, Chris, he said. It's not your fault.
She was on her way back to school with my stuff,
I sniffled.
I told her to hurry. She was probably speeding.
No, she wasn't, Chris, he answered. I promise you, what happened today was just an accident. It wasn't anyone's fault. It was a fluke, okay?
I looked away.
Okay?
He repeated. I nodded.
And the most important thing is that no one got seriously hurt. Mom is fine. Okay, Chris?
He was wiping my tears away as I nodded.
I kept calling her Lisa, I said. She hates when I do that. The last thing she said to me was, I love you, and all I answered was, bye, Lisa, and I didn't even turn around.
Dad cleared his throat. Chris, please don't beat yourself up, he said slowly. Mom knows you love her so much. Listen, this was a scary thing that happened today. It's natural for you to be upset.
When something scary like this happens, it acts like a wake-up call, you know? It makes us reassess what's important in life, our family, our friends, the people we love. He was looking at me while he was talking, but I almost felt like he was talking to himself. His eyes were very moist. Let's just be grateful she's fine, okay, Chris? And we'll take really good care of her together, okay? I nodded. I couldn't really talk because I was afraid I would just cry some more. Dad hugged me tightly, but I think he couldn't really talk either. 10:59 p.m. After Dad had gotten me to calm down a bit, he called Isabel back to let her know everything was fine. They chatted, and then Dad handed the phone to me. It was Augie on the line.
Hey, your dad told my mom you need some help with math?
He said.
Oh, yeah.
I answered shyly, blowing my nose.
But it's so late. Don't you need to go to bed?
Mom's totally fine with my helping you. Let's face chat.
2 seconds later, he was on screen.
So, I'm having trouble with word problems?
I said, opening my textbook.
I'm not getting how you know what operation to use. When do you multiply and when do you divide? It's so confusing.
Oh, that.
He nodded.
Yeah, I definitely had trouble with that, too. Have you memorized the clue words, though? That helped me a lot.
I had no idea what he was talking about.
Let me send you a PDF,
he said. 2 seconds later, I printed out the PDF he sent me, which listed a whole bunch of different math words.
If you know what clue words to look for in the word problem,
Augie explained,
you know what operation to use, like per or each or equally means you have to divide, and at this rate or doubled means multiplication. See?
He went over the whole list of words with me, one by one, until it finally started making sense. Then we went over all the math problems in the textbook. We started with the sample problems first, and it turned out he was right. Once I found the clue word in each problem, I knew what to do. I was able to do most of the worksheet problems on my own, though we went over each and every one of them after I was done, just to be sure I had really gotten it. 11:46 p.m. My favorite types of books have always been mysteries, like you don't know something at the beginning of the book, and then at the end of the book, you know it, and the clues were there all along, you just didn't know how to read them. That's what I felt like after talking to Augie. Like this colossal mystery I couldn't understand before was now completely, suddenly solved. I can't believe I'm finally getting this now, I said to him after we had gone over the last problem. Thank you so much, Og. Seriously, thank you. He smiled and got in close to the screen.
It's cool beans,
he said.
I totally owe you one.
Augie shrugged.
No problem. That's what friends are for, right?
I nodded. Right.
Good night, Chris. Talk soon.
Night, Og. Thanks again. Bye.
He hung up. I closed my textbook. I went to the guest room to tell Dad that Augie had helped me figure out all the math stuff, but he wasn't in the room. I knocked on the bathroom door, but he wasn't in there either. Then I noticed Mom's bedroom door was open. I could see Dad's legs stretched out on the chair next to the dresser. I couldn't see his face from the hallway, so I walked in quietly to let him know that I was finished talking with Augie. That's when I saw that he had fallen asleep in the chair. His head was drooping to one side, his glasses were on the edge of his nose, and his computer was on his lap. I tiptoed to the closet, got a blanket, and placed it over his legs. I did it really softly so he wouldn't wake up. I took the computer from his lap and put it on the dresser. Then I walked over to the side of the bed where Mom was sleeping. When I was little, Mom used to fall asleep reading to me at bedtime. I would nudge her awake if she fell asleep before finishing the book. But sometimes she just couldn't help it. She'd fall asleep next to me, and I would listen to her soft breathing until I fell asleep too. It had been a long time since I'd seen her sleeping, though. As I looked at her now, she
seemed kind of little to me. I didn't remember the freckle on her cheek. I'd never noticed the tiny lines on her forehead. I watched her breathing for a few seconds.
I love you, Mommy.
I didn't say this out loud, though, because I didn't want to wake her up. 11:59 p.m. It was almost midnight by the time I went back to my room. Everything was exactly the way I'd left it this morning. My bed was still unmade, my pajamas were jumbled up on the floor, my closet door was wide open. Usually Mom would make my room look nice after she dropped me off at school in the morning, but today, of course, she never got the chance to do that. That felt like days had passed since Mom woke me up this morning. I closed the closet door, and that's when I noticed the trombone resting against the wall. So the accident didn't happen as she was bringing me my stuff this morning. I don't know why exactly, but this made me feel so much better. I put the trombone right next to the bedroom door so I wouldn't forget it again on my way to school tomorrow, and I packed my science paper and gym shorts inside my backpack. Then I sat down at my desk. Without thinking anything more about it, I replied to Elijah's text. Hey, Elijah. Thanks for the offer to join your band, but I'm going to stick with John at the spring concert. Good luck with Seven Nation Army. Even if I looked like a total dweeb at the spring concert, I couldn't let John down like that. That's what friends are for, right? It's the final countdown. Sometimes friendships are hard. I put my pajamas on, brushed my teeth, and got into bed. Then I turned off the lamp on my nightstand. The stars on my ceiling were glowing bright neon green now, as they always did right after I turned the lights off. I turned over on my side and my eyes fell on a small, star-shaped green light on my floor. It was the star Mom had placed on my forehead this morning, which I had flicked across the room. I got out of bed, picked it up, and stuck it on my forehead. Then I got back in my bed and closed my eyes. We're leaving together, but still it's farewell, and maybe we'll come back to Earth, who can tell. I guess there is no one to blame. We're leaving ground. Will things ever be the same again? It's the final countdown.
Shingaling, A Wonder Story by R.J. Palacio. Performed by Taylor Ann Cron. But every spring it groweth young again, and fairies sing. Flower Fairies of the Spring, 1923. Nobody can do the shingaling like I do. The Isley Brothers. Nobody but me. How I Walked to School. There was a blind old man who played the accordion on Main Street, who I used to see every day on my way to school. He sat on a stool under the awning of the A&P supermarket on the corner of Moore Avenue, his seeing eye dog lying down in front of him on a blanket. The dog wore a red bandana around its neck. It was a black Labrador. I know because my sister Beatrix asked him one day. "Excuse me, sir, what kind of dog is that?" "Joni is a black Labrador, missy," he answered. "She's really cute. Can I pet her?" "Best not. She's working right now." "Okay, thank you. Have a good day now." "Bye, missy." My sister waved at him. He had no way of knowing this, of course, so he didn't wave back. Beatrix was 8 then. I know because it was my first year at Beecher Prep, which means I was in kindergarten. I never talked to the accordion man myself. I hate to admit it, but I was kind of afraid of him back then. His eyes, which were always open, were kind of glazed and cloudy. They were cream-colored and looked like white and tan marbles. It spooked me. I was even a little afraid of his dog, which really made no sense because I usually love dogs. I mean, I have a dog. But I was afraid of his dog, who had a gray muzzle and whose eyes were kind of gloopy, too. But, and here's a big but, Even though I was afraid of both of them, the accordion man and his dog, I always dropped a dollar bill into the open accordion case in front of them. And somehow, even though he was playing the accordion, and no matter how quietly I crept over, the accordion man would always hear the swoosh of the dollar bill as it fell into the accordion case. "God bless America," he would say to the air, nodding in my direction. That always made me wonder, how could he hear that? How did he know what direction to nod at? My mom explained that blind people develop their other senses to make up for the sense they've lost. So, because he was blind, he had super hearing. That, of course, got me wondering if he had other superpowers, too. Like, in the winter, when it was freezing cold, did his fingers have a magical way of keeping warm while they pressed the keys? And how did the rest of him stay warm? On those really frigid days when my teeth would start to chatter after walking just a few blocks against the icy wind, how did he stay warm enough to play his accordion? Sometimes, I'd even see little rivers of ice forming in parts of his mustache and beard, or I'd see him reach down to make sure his dog was covered by the blanket. So I knew he felt the cold, but how did he keep playing? If that's not a superpower, I don't know what is. In the wintertime, I always asked my mom for $2 to drop into his accordion case instead of just one. Swoosh, swoosh. God bless America. He played the same 8 or 10 songs all the time, except at Christmas time, when he'd play Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But otherwise, it was the same songs. My mom knew the names of some of them. Delilah, Lara's Theme, Those Were the Days. I downloaded all the titles she named, and she was right. Those were the songs. But why just those songs? Were they the only songs he ever learned to play? Or were they the only songs he remembered? Or did he know a whole bunch of other songs, but chose to play just those songs? And all that wondering got me wondering even more. When did he learn to play the accordion? When he was a little boy? Could he see back then? If he couldn't see, how could he read music? Where did he grow up? Where did he live when he wasn't on the corner of Main Street and Moore Avenue? I saw him and his dog walking together sometimes, his right hand holding the dog's harness and his left hand holding the accordion case. They moved so slowly. It didn't seem like they could get very far. So where did they go? There were a lot of questions I would have asked him if I hadn't been afraid of him. But I never asked. I just gave him $1 bills. Swoosh. God bless America. It was always the same. Then, when I got older and wasn't that afraid of him anymore, the questions I used to have about him didn't seem to matter as much to me. I guess I got so accustomed to seeing him, I didn't really think about his foggy eyes or if he had superpowers. It's not like I stopped giving him a dollar when I passed by him or anything. But it was more like a habit now, like swiping a Metro card through a subway turnstile. Swoosh! God bless America! By the time I started 5th grade, I stopped seeing him completely because I no longer walked past him on my way to school. The Beecher Prep Middle School is a few blocks closer to my house than the lower school was, so now I walk to school with Beatrix and my oldest sister, Amy, and I walk home from school with my best friend, Ellie, as well as Maya and Lena, who live near me. Once in a while, at the beginning of the school year, we would go get snacks at the A&P after school before heading home, and I'd see the accordion man and give him a dollar and hear him bless America. But as the weather got colder, we didn't do that as much, which is why it wasn't until a few days into winter break, when I went to the A&P with my mom one afternoon, that I realized that the blind old man who played the accordion on Main Street wasn't there anymore. He was gone. How I spent my winter vacation. People who know me always say I'm so dramatic. I have no idea why they say that, because I'm really, really, really not dramatic. But when I found out the accordion man was gone, I kind of lost it. I really don't know why, but I just couldn't stop obsessing about what had happened to him. It was